Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
I gotta do something to get the picture better. Hold on.
All right.
Forgot to hit a button. There we go. Now we look better. This is Guest Thursday, and Kathy has been interviewing me to process, you know, how I grew up and my background and, you know, how I was led into business and then through ministry and got my seminary degree and have been a pastor and how, and we want to talk. I know, Kathy, you had even thought about that it would be really wonderful if my audience knew more of the story of how this whole thing came about.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was part of the reason, obviously, it's great to have the listeners just hear your story and your journey of faith. And even as we heard, you know, it's taken two episodes and we just barely touched the surface of it. But in that, you know, I think all of us, as we're listening, we could see pieces that God was already placing together in your life that he would weave together to have you teach others in this ministry, even from the value of community and then people that took you under their wing as mentors and just teaching you what it is to abide and to hear his voice and walking you through successes and failures and all of these things that God did beautifully. And even, you know, you shared the heartache of the loss of the baseball dream and all of these things, but those are all places that I think God definitely used. He redeemed all of these and has woven together this story, and through you and your faithfulness and pressing into him, laid on your hearts this ministry. And so I think hearing the backstory a little bit now, I think it would be great if we could spend some time going into how he birthed the ministry. And then even continue to share what has gone on since then. But such a great story. If you didn't hear the first two interviews, go back, because it's nice just to hear how God was working in your life, even in places you weren't expecting at the time. Yep. And then how he used those to fold back into everything that's come about now.
Yep. And we had, you know, talked about, you know, worked for a Fortune 500 company, then came to Colorado and set up a business, and we're doing, you know, really enjoying things. We wound up going to a church in Boulder, Colorado, and they didn't have any young marriage class at all. So we started one from scratch, because our heart was always for marriages and to give away what Linda and I had learned, both the hard way of particularly the mistakes that I had made, but just how God had taught us of how to live life and start to,
and how he redeemed so much of that too, right?
Redeemed it, and we got to learn to hear his voice and abide. And so we started this class. It grew to 50 couples, and I noticed that they weren't going to church. And I said, "Why aren't you guys going to church?" And they said, "Oh, it's that old choir and hymn stuff, and we like contemporary worship." And you know, it's there. And so I went to the pastor, "Hey, why don't you take one of your three services, make it contemporary. I've actually got a worship band in my class, and they'll be the music, and you just do what you're going to do, and we'll support you." And they said, and he went to the elders, and they said, "Nope, we're not doing anything contemporary. We're not going to do it. If you want to, go start your own church." So so I'm thinking, no way. And through a series of things, we wound up starting it. It grew. Just one cool little story, and we've got literally scores of them, but we wound up at the University of Colorado, and they weren't going to allow us to use their auditoriums because of separation of church and state, but we made an appeal and said, "That's not fair. Would you reconsider?" And they did. And so they said, "You know what? We reconsidered it. You can do it. What would you like?" And I'd already thought about it and heard from God about it. I said, the planetarium.
Oh, how fun.
they said, okay. So they rented us $10.5 million worth of equipment.
Wow.
105 projectors, the star thing, the whole ceiling was the screen. And they had a platform so we could have our band and our worship and all that.
Right.
They had 250.
And so this is where your church was meeting then.
Well, then they said you can meet there.
Or this group. Okay.
We had already started. So we were probably about 150 at that point. And from nothing. And so we started our first service at that place on Easter Sunday. It just so happened the timing. And we advertised it as sunrise service at 10 in the morning.
I love it.
Because it could be night. We could make it night. And then
you could have the sun come up. That's awesome.
And we packed it out and then we could do whatever we wanted to. So I had to be a 3 weeks ahead, but I could say, I would like a church in the woods and a horse and buggy going by with this music and it's snowing, and they could do it.
Wow.
Whatever I could dream of, they could do it. You know? And so it grew and grew and grew. And so we were about, 250. And of course nobody was getting paid and we all have other jobs. And it was at a time where, you know what, we got to go full time with this. So, hey, Father, should I, stop my work and go full time? He said, no, you're done. Thanks. I have other things for you. Go recruit somebody and they'll take it to the next level. And we've got some great stories of that.
I'm going to pause you before you go any further right there, because I think that's such a sweet part of the story to listen. Any pastor mostly that you talk to would say, you're growing, people are coming, God is doing a move. You absolutely, it would be assumed that you are to step into this full time.
Sure.
And probably, I venture to say, you probably heard from some pastors or people in your congregation or whatever that thought you were foolish to not.
Right.
Your assumption was not to say, well, it's going well, therefore I'm staying. Just like we talk about all these other times is learning to hear God's voice and seeking his will. Instead, you went to him with a question rather than an assumption.
That's right.
And he surprised you a little bit with that, I think, too, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. And so we did that. And while I was doing my practice, I had clients in Chicago. And so I was 3 weeks in Colorado, 1 week in Chicago.
So yeah, now you're just working full time. Are you doing anything with the church on the side or?
I had helped, a church in go through some trouble. I spent some time doing that. And then we are teaching class, that was continuing to, be able to use the teaching gift, but not at that church or not specifically, at a group, just a broader group. So 3 weeks in Colorado, 1 week in Chicago. So God said, I want you to go buy a condo in Chicago. And so we did, and we bought one on Lakeshore Drive and we're attending a church there when we're there. Mm-hmm. The church falls apart. The pastor had committed adultery and it was a whole mess. And the elders had gotten to know who I was. That I had started a church, an ordained minister, and they come to me and say, our church is collapsing. Could you please step in as the senior pastor? No, I got a business, and I live in Colorado. And they said, well, I thought you said you sought God's will before you decided to do anything. And, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. We go and pray, and God says, yeah, I want you to do that. And, just have to cut back on your business. Your income will drop a lot, but I'll make it up to you later. Tell them that you're still going to do some business, and you got to still go to Colorado periodically. But, yes, I want you to do this and help this church. So we did. So it was about 2.5 years, and we did that. And the church was wildly successful, turned around. It actually grew with me as an interim. which is really rare.
Interim is not normal for it to grow.
And the whole church
started
to thrive, and we're teaching people what it means to hear God's voice and abide and all that. And so toward the end of that, when we had helped recruit a full-time guy, people said, wow, look at what you did. You need to go do that. There's a lot of other churches that are in trouble, and you seem to be gifted at that. So why don't you go and do that for other people? I said, well, I'll check in. Let me check in. You know, hey, Father, what do you have to say? He said, no, you're done. Thank you. Go home to Colorado and disciple your wife and kids. Okay. All right. Sure. And I did understand something, that any assignment from God was God's wonderful gift, and where he wanted me to receive and give it away. And there's no magnitude of that. There's not better or worse or bigger or less. It's just important because God says so. And so I didn't even think about it. I was leading a 1,200 member church, and look at all that happened. And I just said, I got it. No problem. And so we did. We came back and our son.
Can I pause you? Yeah. I'm going to pause the story right there, because what you just said is really significant. The number of people that attach their value to what they have produced or what they're involved in. That I'm assuming God grew in you along the way.
Yeah.
The ability to release that. Yeah. Do you want to speak into that a little bit? Just on the heart of how did God get you to a place where you recognize that it really was about what he was calling and not what everyone else said success was?
Yeah. Well, I learned, and this is, you know, I'm Fortune 500, where we're measured by results, and, you know, even the activity that I'm doing as a typical business guy, that what we had learned, having had the failures of the past, is that we began to understand God's will was best and none better.
Mm-hmm.
That it was covenant, I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing, and I'm the vine dresser, not you.
Right.
And I did really start to understand that of I don't need to fret or figure this out or evaluate. I just need to listen and follow, not even knowing where it's going to go ultimately, but it's going to be good. So what happened is I became cognizant of Rich, do not focus on outcome or measurement, but on faithfulness.
That's huge.
Yeah. And faithfulness is what I'm asking you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what may seem like small may not be so small.
Right.
Because I care about things. And I may give you an assignment that is considered small, but it's the biggest thing you'll ever be part of because it's mine giving it to you.
I love that.
So I had really understood that. So it wasn't any difficulty. When I said, what would you have me do next? When he said, yeah, go home and just relax, be with your kids and your grandkids and your wife. That's it. It was like, I received that 100%. I don't question it at all. And it didn't even occur to me to think it was less. See, you see the difference?
Right.
Because it's now part of what God has shown me. And I don't have to struggle through that. Well, yeah, but it wasn't even any of that. It was like, sure.
Yeah.
Got it.
But he had grown that trust in you.
You had bore witness
to his faithfulness time and time again to produce the fruit that he was choosing to produce through you as you just put your guess on the table, right?
Yeah. And it became, you know, Linda and I had, we had barely begun to enjoy, we don't have to take on the burden of the outcome. We don't have to take on the burden of where it's even going. We just have to enjoy the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, this is the way, we're going with you.
Right.
So we did. We came back to Colorado. And our son was graduating from college.
Mm-hmm.
He had, met Shara, and they were engaged, and they were going to get married.
And where was he at school again?
He was at DU at this point. He had started at Baylor, but they were both at Baylor.
And then transferred.
They went to DU. And they were got married in summer, and then they were going to graduate in January.
Okay.
So since they got married and they're going to graduate, we just said, why don't you guys live with us until you get your, you know, get your assignment? Mm-hmm. They said, yeah, great. And they lived in our basement and it was great. And interesting enough, they're both living in our basement now for a different reason. And it's kind of fun. You know, we just are able to do this and it's fun. And they're headed back to Texas with their two boys now being at Baylor, and they're going to build a house. Mm-hmm. But I had a client in Chicago that was an automotive parts manufacturer for U.S. Companies and German companies,
mm-hmm.
BMW and Mercedes. And he and I were the CEO, and I were talking, and he was saying, I said, well, what next plans? He said, well, I want to build a factory and set up a business in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, my son, and this is again through what God's providence is, between his sophomore and junior year, he spent a year working for a client that I had from England setting up a business in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And he was very successful, and he knew all the German laws and all the German accounting, and he spoke German. My wife's German. So I said, well, gee, my son's German or knows German. And he was over there for a year. He said, oh, really? He said, well, my son's graduating from Dartmouth. Maybe we should just send them both over and see what happens. Okay. You know, so you're sure you want to send these two kids? Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, so they go over there. And so he and Shira live in Germany. And they're doing great at work, and he's building a business. And
mm-hmm.
You know, think of a college graduate with that kind of an opportunity. You know,
that's excellent.
Well, we were one of the things we were good at, and we have been good our whole life, is vacations.
Mm-hmm.
We did take rest, we did take time away, and we always went to spectacular stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, they're in Germany. We're gonna go have a vacation.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick, just out of curiosity. As a youth, did your family growing up, did you travel a lot, or is that something you and Linda started together?
No, my family had spectacular vacations.
Okay. So that was something that was planted in you from a long time ago.
Yeah. Linda actually grew up with not having much of vacation at all.
Okay.
Cause she was a pastor's kid. And so, I had started, you know, taking the family and taking her, and they liked it.
mm-hmm. I bet.
So we're going to have a vacation. So I start researching, and, you know, there's internet, and I find a castle in Vienna, 25,000 square foot castle with a moat
mm-hmm.
in Vienna. And I thought, man, I'd love to go there, but it's kind of expensive. I wonder if I can get some friends to go with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I call five couples, Christian couples, from their different places in the country. Hey, we want to go to Vienna, you know, in June. And I got this castle. Would you like to go? And they said, yeah, sure. You know, and so they help pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to this castle, and Peter and Cher are there. And our plan was to have breakfast, and we had a cook and all that. And they, you know, they'd make breakfast and dinner and all that. And then we'd just go sightseeing for the day. That was
right.
The plan. That was the plan. So we, the first day, we're having breakfast, and I just said, would you like me to do a devotion?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, that would be great. So we go from the breakfast room to this big, beautiful salon, you know, that's gigantic and beautiful, full of paintings and all that. And I'm walking from breakfast to that. I hadn't thought about this. So
right.
I don't have anything ready. You know, I just said, I said, Father, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, teach them how to abide in the vine.
Mm.
I said, well,
so you have, at this point, you have not written a single bit of curriculum or anything on this.
I haven't put any of this on paper. I haven't even organized any of it.
Okay.
I've read it and studied it, and we live it out.
Right.
But, and we've learned certain things. But he said, yeah, teach them abiding. I said, well, what? He said, well, start with John 15, and I'll tell you what to do next. And so we did, and we were at 8 o'clock, and we didn't end until 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they were so excited to be part of it that they said, wow, that was fabulous. That was great being in the Word. Can we do that tomorrow? Sure.
Wow.
And so we'd go sightseeing, have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda and I would walk. We'd go outside, and we'd walk around the moat. And we'd, you know, Father, what do you want us to do now? You know, and then he gave me, well, teach him about my original intention and the problem with Satan. Okay, Genesis and, you know, and the solution. And so, okay. So he gives me that. And I do that the next day. And then, hey, let's keep doing it. So we'd walk around the castle. What do you want us to do next? We'll teach him about the fruit of abiding. And the first one I want you to do is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we do forgive. And then unity, because, hey, you learn how important unity is, so teach them
right,
unity.
Right, right.
Teach them how to walk in the Spirit, and then teach them the mechanics of how do you abide. And so we did that day after day after day, and it's finally going to end. And they're all excited. They love this time in the Word together.
Right.
I said, oh, and we go one more time. What do you want us to do? He says, well, set it up, and I will speak to everybody personally. How is that going to work? He said, give him, and he tells us this, give him Ezekiel 34. Okay. So we go look at it. Like, what the heck is that?
So he's literally laying the retreat out for you day by day.
Just day by day by day.
And just putting the pieces together. I love it.
And Ezekiel 34, and it's a series of 22 I wills. And just have them, you know how to cross-reference. They don't know how to do this. Start there, cross-reference, cross-reference. I will speak to them, and then you can help interpret it. Okay. So we give them Ezekiel 34. They spend the hour doing the work, come back, share. And Linda and I are literally blown away how did that happen? And everybody said, that's exactly what God wanted to tell me. And I know this is true, and it's be personal, and it's amazing. And we would say, now based upon that, go keep abiding and learn to go deeper. So they did. So they go home. And Lynn and I were just honored, thrilled, and having fun to be able to do it.
And probably just in awe of God laying this all, putting it together, right?
We were just in awe. And then about 3 or 4 weeks later, we start getting phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And these are from the couples that came. And they said, our friends noticed a difference in us. And they wanted to know what happened. And we just said, well, we spent this week in the Word and learning to abide. And we did this fabulous castle in Vienna. And they said, who did that? You know, well, we were with this guy, you know, Rich and Linda. And they said, well, do you think they might do it again next year? So we start getting requests. Could we do another group and do the same thing next year? And so it's one of those things. We talk about God giving you a heads up.
Right.
It was, hey, pay attention. And so, Father, are you saying you're doing something here? Yes. What would you like me to do? He said, everything that you did, write it down.
That's good.
Go write it down and put it in a workbook.
Mm-hmm.
And streamline a little bit, and you learn, you know, some things, and I'll give you some more, and then do it again. And invite couples to come, and so we did. And I put it in a formal workbook, people were requesting to come, and we had enough for 2 weeks, two different weeks, back to back. And I rented a castle in Scotland.
Oh, how fun!
And it was beautiful. And now it's planned. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there. We're going to spend from 8 to 11:30 in the Word. We'll go sightseeing.
And then go on tours and whatnot. Yeah.
And we filled it up. And we did it again. And they started calling me up about a month later and said, well, our friends want to know, are you going to do it again? Do it again. You know, God said, yeah, do it again. And I'm refining the book. The following year, we went to the French Loire Valley. And we did three back-to-back weeks.
And all of these were on abiding. So three separate groups of people or?
Well, they're separate groups. And a couple of them had wanted to come again. Of course, they wanted to be in a beautiful spot, but they were primarily new groups.
Okay.
And we're doing abiding. And so they get transformed and changed. And we noticed this is one of the most powerful things I've ever been part of because it's not about learning about God.
Right.
It's experiencing God in a few days.
Right.
It's remarkable, you know, and so we go home and God says to Linda and I, we're processing. He says, okay, now I want you to make it a weekend retreat and start doing it in your house in Colorado. Okay. I had to streamline a little bit because we were doing a week long, but we had to make it Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And because people had said enough to other people, I was getting request after request is when can we do this? And we said, well, we're actually going to do it here in America now. And we kept doing it in Europe, but would you want to come out? Yeah, sure. You know, and they'd come out to our house and we did probably the first year we did 5 and the next year we did 10. And the results were so overwhelming that what people saw their life change, they kept calling us up and said, when can we do it?
I love it.
So I know we're running out of time, so I'll pick it up with one more experience just to share what happened. But we're now about, in the story, we're about 5 years after we had that retreat in Vienna.
And it's just exploded.
Gives it to us. And it starts to explode. And a whole bunch of things had to happen for what we were up to. And it's kind of cool because the very things we were teaching, mm-hmm. sharing, was happening to us.
I love it.
And we had to actually, and Linda and I process this, and it actually became the essence of how we do our leadership is if you're not experiencing it yourself,
mm-hmm.
you have nothing to give away.
Mm.
And we were experiencing ourselves.
And then you can't help but want to give it away, right?
So we'll do one more session just to tell you the rest of the story, because we would like to tell you what happened and where we are today, because we're at this other, we've been at several what we call inflection points.
Mm-hmm.
Where
and this is definitely a new inflection point that we have hit, right?
And where we are today, and Kathy and I can share, we're at a brand new inflection point.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing is that we never planned it.
Right.
We just walked into it, you know, and so.
So beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all of this. I think it's so fun to hear and just to see what God is doing, because this is 100% purely a move of God.
It really, 100%. So. And we still have the privilege of it. Matter of fact, that's one of the challenges is as we do get bigger and have to structure things, God keeps warning me, do not make it a business.
That's so good. That's so good.
He said, if I was you, I'd follow me.
Right? All right.
Heavenly Father, just sharing the story is exciting to us. It reminds us of how beautiful life can give. As you give it, we just have to receive it and then enjoy the beauty of that walk and the supernatural of that walk and the privilege of that walk. And we just pray that we'll stay pure to that. We are at a new point of development and there are wonderful things happening and we do have to structure, but we pray that we'll stay pure and let you fulfill what you have in mind now. And we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, everyone. Be sure to tune in for the final episode on this story next Thursday as Rich continues to share where the ministry, kind of where it's gone now in the last 15 years or so.
20 years.
Yep. And what's on the horizon that God is speaking. Yeah. So we'd love to share that with you. So if you have questions, send them in to us, questions@abideministries.com, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.